Mary, can you hear me? Okay. Colleen, can you hear me now? Okay, Mary, you may want to put it back on, and I'll just use, for whatever reason, I'll just stand right here. I'll feel restrained today. How's that? I'll feel restricted. I'll keep this closer so that I'll try to, so that you came to hear a message, and I want to make sure you hear something. See, my eternal security is based on Jesus Christ and his work alone. Now, we have to move right through this sermon, or else we'll be here till way past our lunchtime. So the next word, the next phrase here is, since we have been justified through faith. We have been justified through faith. Now, there are three reasons here I want to just quickly talk about the importance of justification. Jesus was born so that you and I could stand justified. Now, justification is a legal term, and we've already talked about this in some of our other study of Romans. But folks, when a person goes before a judge, that person is charged with a crime, and then it's the role of the prosecution to present evidence to convict that person of that crime, and it is the role of the defense attorney to present evidence to get that person acquitted of that crime. Well, you and I all stand before God the Father guilty as charged. And the evidence is clear. We are all guilty of sin. We have all sinned. There's not a single person who could stand before God the Father in a courtroom and say, look at me, I've never sinned outside of Jesus Christ. So the evidence is overwhelming. The evidence that you and I are sinners is overwhelming. Absolutely overwhelming. And there would not be enough time to go through every incident of our sin, because we only focus on our external sin, but God focuses on our internal sin, our hidden thoughts that no one ever knows. How would you like to have all of your hidden thoughts revealed? Raise your hand if you would. Okay. How would you like to have all of your hidden, the innermost thoughts of your hearts that you're not even aware of? The Holy Spirit searches your innermost parts of your heart that you're not even aware of. Who wants all those revealed? Raise your hand. See? None of us do. Because we need to be justified. We need, somehow, God knows that we need to be justified. And so there's three reasons here, real quickly. Justification is necessary because, one, we are dead to God in sin. When sin came into this world through Adam and Eve, sin permanently separated man from God. Sin permanently separated women from God. Okay, we are permanently separated. In Ephesians 2:1, Paul says, we are dead in our sin. We need justification because sin is permanently separates us. Another reason under justification is necessary is because God's wrath is going to be poured out upon sinners. And you can look up those verses in Hebrews as well. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 29 says, it is fearful to fall into the hands of the living God, who is a consuming fire. See, we have this idea that God is just love, and he cares about us, and he doesn't care what we do, as long as he's a loving God. Well, he is a loving God, but the fact is he's a holy God. And because he is holy, he cannot tolerate our sin. Regardless of what our society says, regardless of what our society says about sins, God never changes. His idea of sin is absolute hatred towards sin. Okay, we need to be justified. Why? Because God loves us. In John 3:16, it says, God so loved us that he gave the greatest gift. Christmas is about the greatest gift a person could ever receive, and it doesn't cost you anything except to humble yourself and say, God, I'm a sinner. But that cost right there is more expensive than any car you'll ever buy. It costs more than any house you'll ever buy. It costs more than any mansion, any palace you could ever think of owning. Because if a person will not humble him or herself and say, God, I'm a wretched sinner. I deserve nothing but your eternal separation, your eternal death. That person, he or she, will never humble himself. and receive the greatest gift that this world has ever known. And lastly, God's legal code requires punishment. Just like in a courtroom, if you are found guilty, punishment must be administered. God the Father said to the Son, I will send you, and you will take Brett Charsky's punishment. You will go to the cross and take all of his sin, and you will then be his substitute. You will pay for his penalty. And the great exchange is this: Jesus Christ on that cross took all of my sin upon himself. Hallelujah. And then he exchanged and gave me, he imputed his righteousness to me. So now I stand before the Father and his legal code has been met, and I am now pardoned of all my sin. Look at the next word. The very first result of justification is we have peace with God. I'm going to just keep moving right along here. Just follow along. We have peace with God. You know, today, a person who is at peace with God is reconciled to God. We are called his children. You know, a person who is walking in obedience with Jesus Christ is experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit, growing that person in grace and in knowledge. As you get out your Bible and you spend time in it, you know, a person who does not know God, they laugh at the Bible. And those who are living outside of God's will, you know, people who are reconciled to God, they have a desire to want to read God's word. They have a desire to want to pick it up. You know, I just encourage you. I know I can't move far from here, but I just encourage you. Take time to examine your own hearts. Do you have a desire to get into your secret closet and pray? Do you have a desire to seek God and say, God, what are you doing in my life? I want to spend time in your word. Those are all evidence that God is at work in your life and that you have peace in your heart. See, you know what? I'll tell you something. I am ready to fly. I tell you this all the time because it's true. It's absolutely true. My message rarely changes. I'm preaching from different passages of the Bible, but I know that if I was to be shot today, if I was doing something and someone shot me point blank, I know where I would go. I have no doubt. I have no fear because Jesus Christ is my Lord and he's my Savior. He was born. He was sent from God the Father to die for me, a wretched sinner. And I know, not because I'm a pastor, not because I'm a chaplain, not because of anything I do. It is because of who Jesus Christ is that I know where my eternal home is. And I have peace with God in my heart. You know what, folks, Colleen and I, we don't know what's going to happen come 1 January. I've got a unit, and I'm going to be the 804th Brigade Chaplain, Medical Brigade Chaplain, out at Fort Devens. So I will start doing that in February. But you know what? We're at peace. You know why we're at peace? We're going to trust God. God is going ahead of us. God has already got a plan. This chapter is coming into an end, and he's got the next chapter getting ready to be opened up. You know, when you read a book, you see chapter 1, then you see chapter 2. When chapter 1 ends, you start chapter 2. God, this chapter has ended, and now we're going to start a new chapter. How exciting. We're on an adventure. God is at work. God is at work. My hope is in Jesus Christ and what he is doing, and we are at peace. Okay, do you have peace? The world is longing for peace, and yet you will never buy it. You can't buy it in a store. You can't cook it at a restaurant. You can't cook it in your home. You may enjoy a good meal. You may open up some good presents, but you will never have peace in your soul unless you are reconciled to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Okay, I've already covered through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the only source. Folks, there is no other source of peace with God the Father outside of Jesus Christ. Our society believes that Christmas is just a holiday. To be lumped in with Hanukkah and to be lumped in with any other holiday that might be out there. It is not a holiday. It is the birth of God the Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. It is more than we can ever talk about or imagine. We do our best to talk about theology and what this is because God has given us words, and through words we express, He expresses His truth, and then we express God's truth to you. But this is not a holiday. This is not just about family and friends and gifts. It's about Jesus Christ coming into this world to save us. And the sooner that we recognize that we're sinners, only saved by the grace of God, gives us a better understanding and appreciation of this. Now, the second result is when you look at verse 2a, and I know I'm going through this quickly. Look at this. It says, through whom we have gained access by faith into this hope. This world is looking for hope. This world is looking for peace. And they're saying, I sure hope. And you know, outside of believers, we say this, I hope it doesn't snow on the 27th so Colleen can get out. See, that's a wish list. That's what the world says. They use the word hope, and they simply have turned it into a bucket list of things that I would like. I hope I get this for Christmas. But when it talks about, when Paul says, we have gained access by faith into this grace, and we have the privilege of saying by hope, you know, to gain access to the Father is a remarkable gift. And we don't appreciate this. I'd like us to look at this one more time. You know the story of Queen Esther? Queen Esther was told, I want you to go before the king and gain access to the king. And you know what her first response was? No, because if I go and he doesn't call me, if I go and he has not called me, then the penalty is what? The penalty is death. If I go and he does not show me favor, if he does not show me grace, then though I'm his queen and though I'm beautiful, and she knows it, everyone has told her, even the queen cannot go to King Cyrus without Xerxes, without him extending grace. And her fear was upon going into that access to the throne room, she would be killed, she'd be executed. See, we don't understand this whole idea. We just approach God like he's a grandpa. You know, grandpa, can I sit on your lap? And he's almost equated to, like, he's Santa Claus. God is not Santa Claus, and we do not sit on his lap. He is the King of Kings. And Queen Esther was so fearful that she said, I'm going to fast and pray for 3 days. And she got all of her friends. She sent word to Mordecai, send out to the whole Jewish community, fast and pray, do not eat anything for 3 days, because I'm about to go into the king and he has not called for me. And if he does not extend to me grace, I will be taken out and I will be executed. See, we have lost this idea of who God is. He is not Santa Claus. We do not climb up onto his lap and give him our wish list. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the King of Kings, and now he is seated on his throne, and we approach Jesus Christ like he's just some guy, some dude. The Bible says every knee will bend and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And then they'll either hear two things. If a person who has peace with God, that person, I know, Jesus will say, well done, Brett, you have proclaimed my word. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the means. Absolutely not. My hope is not on me. Absolutely not. My hope is in Jesus Christ and him alone. Queen Esther prayed and fasted for 3 days. And when she knocked on that door, there was a moment of trembling. I don't know if that's true or not, but I just kind of believe, kind of think it out. She knocked on that door, and the king was in court, and he was holding session, and she walked out, and everyone was like, did you call for her? Was she scheduled to come today? Because you know what everyone else knew? Everyone in that audience knew that the king now would have to make, he'd have two choices. Keep the law, the Medes and Persians, which cannot be broken, and therefore take her out and execute her immediately. There was no judge, there was no trial, there was nothing. The evidence is clear. She has gained access to the king without prior knowledge of the king, and therefore it is illegal. She is already convicted. Take her out and execute her. And it would have been done that fast. Or the king would say, welcome. And he would extend the grace, the scepter of grace to her, and welcome her to come unto him. See, that's what Jesus does. He welcomes us to come unto the Father. You and I have gained access to God the Father through Jesus Christ alone. And the third result of justification is hope. It's hope. I'm going to close with this. I do a lot of marriage counseling up at Fort Drum, my 5.5 years that I've been there. And as I come to a close, I've worked with a lot of couples. Some premarital counseling, some in marital distress, some on the brink of divorce. And if you can offer somebody hope, if you can offer hope to a marriage, hope to a couple, you offer them not just a word. Hope is not just a word. It is packed with the idea that something good can still happen. And if you can offer a man or a woman, or if they come in together as a couple who are struggling, and you can offer that couple hope, hope that, yes, despite these problems, marriage is still, can be still salvaged. I've had couples go out of there saying, you know, I never thought that we could ever salvage it. But hope. There's something unique about the word hope. From a Christian standpoint, it is the rocks, it's the surety that God is at work through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have quickly gone over this passage. We thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We can never say thank you enough. Father, I thank you that you have sustained my voice. Yesterday, as I was more hoarse, I drank so much water. And today, I thank you that even a little cough drop just soothes the throat enough for me to proclaim your word, your eternal truth. That the source of our hope is Jesus Christ. The peace with God comes through only Jesus Christ. Christmas is all about Jesus Christ. Father, may this Christmas season, as we go forth this week, as we prepare for Christmas Eve, as we prepare to travel or to open gifts on Christmas Day, may we truly recognize that Christmas is all about who Jesus Christ is. And what he's done for us. For we pray this in your glorious name, Jesus. Amen. Our final hymn is from the Great Hymns of Faith, number 90. Would you please turn and stand as we sing? It came